Let's pray together. Father God, as we are gathered here to worship this morning, as we seek to bring you honor and glory in so many ways, just through unity and fellowship, God, through caring for one another, through encouragement and accountability, God, through worship and song and through the word, God, we just are in awe of who you are. As we sing these things, as we talk about these things, Father, we worship because of who you are. We worship because of what you are, because of what you have done. And God, as we are here this morning, I just pray that your Spirit would be speaking to us. As we turn to your word now, as we study and try to understand a little bit more what worship is, that you would speak to us, God, that we would be drawn to an incredible place of worshiping out of who you are, God, flowing from you and back to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're having adventures this morning. Microphone's not working and kind of working and all kinds of things. It's been exciting. Pastor Dennis leaves and everything just falls apart, right? We need that guy around. Pastor Dennis is on holidays a little bit here. I was going to mention that as well during announcements. We can be in prayer for him that this would just be an incredible time of rest for him, that he would have a chance to just refresh. They're going to visit some family in the States a little bit, so safety and travel for them as well. Joanna's here this morning. Dennis is just kind of packing frantically at home and getting organized for that. They were at a wedding this weekend as well, so it's been a busy season for him. Even as he had the sabbatical in the fall, ministry is nonstop, and so it's good for him to be able to get away a little bit. So just be praying for him as he is walking through that for the next week or so here. But this morning we're going to continue on in our series entitled, Why Do We? Why do we do what we do? And what we're trying to explore this summer is why we practice things the way we do in our church services. Why do we as followers of Jesus do things a certain way when we get together? Because it's so easy for us to just kind of go through the motions. It's easy to just kind of get together and do what we've always done, and we get into a pattern and song announcements, song, or offering, song, message, song, shake hands and go home. You know, we can do this. It's a pattern that we establish. And patterns are not bad. As people, I think change is sometimes exciting, and oftentimes we don't really like it, so we like patterns. Patterns are good, and if we're familiar with what's happening and it goes in a way that we're comfortable with, that's good. That's okay. That's allowed. But if that pattern becomes a rut, if that pattern becomes a crutch, something that we just kind of rely on and lean on and don't really pay attention to what we're doing, then our practices lose their meaning, lose their value. I've, at different points in my life, I've had opportunity, as I'm sure all of you had, to attend church in different ways. I've attended, an Anglican service here and a Catholic service there. And it's always really interesting for me to go into some of those spheres because that's very unfamiliar territory for me. As I was born and raised in the Baptist church, in a small town and in with a practice of worship and following Jesus that was very familiar to me. That's something I've just kind of lived in my whole life. And so the way we do things is very familiar and normal. And so when you step into a context like an Anglican service or a Catholic service or something like that, it's dramatically different how they walk through their services. Very structured in a different way. And they have kind of call and response times and different ways of even practicing communion and different things like that. And when you step into something like that, it can be, really scary or uncomfortable if you allow it to be. Or it can be really jarring and exciting to see how different people express themselves to Jesus, how they interact with God together. And so I find those can be really refreshing moments when you step into a different context, and now everybody next week is going to go to a different church and we'll just sit here by ourselves, I guess, because you'll all be experiencing something new. But it's fun to go and experience things in a different way. But that loses its luster too. And so for us to say, well, we just need to do what those people do, and then it'll feel fresh and new, and it'll lose its luster. It always does. As people, again, we fall into patterns. And the individuals that go to those different congregations probably know just when to stand and just when to sit and know what to say, just when to say it. And they're not even really paying attention maybe to the words that they say anymore. Just like we do with songs that we maybe sing too often. Praise is rising. I do that one like all the time, so I'm the primary culprit. It's a good song, though. It's so good. But we can get into just singing the words without even paying attention to what they are if the song is so familiar. So we are not at all immune to this. So whatever you get used to becomes your normal and can quickly become your rut if you're not careful. And that doesn't just have to do with music. That can be just even coming to church at all on Sunday mornings. It's just what I do every Sunday. I don't really pay attention to even why I'm here. That's where I got to go. Why do we get together? Why do we do the things that we do? And so this summer we're walking through that. And we started at the very beginning, the reason behind all of this. Why do we follow Jesus? Why do we follow Jesus? Because Jesus is the reason for all of this, theoretically. I mean, we could just have some kind of social club and call ourselves a community organization and, you know, get together, I guess. But Jesus is the reason for all of this. So why him specifically as opposed to anything else? There's lots of philosophies, lots of smart people that sound really good, lots of spiritual sounding people all over the world and throughout history. Why Jesus as opposed to any one of those? And we explored because he's the only one worth following. He's the only one who actually, we called it the difference between doing and done. Every other philosophy, every other religion, every other teacher and leader asks us to earn salvation in whatever way they choose to define that, to earn the love of whatever being that it is they're pursuing. Jesus is the only one that says, you can't, it's done, it is finished, as he said. Jesus is the only one willing to sacrifice himself for people that so obviously didn't deserve it, to give his life up for us so that we could come back to the relationship we were created for. Why Jesus? Because he's the only one that matters. He's worthy of our devotion. But then beyond that, why do we get together for church? Pastor Dennis talked about that. Why do we even gather here on Sunday mornings? For encouragement. To worship together, to be encouraged and challenged together with the body of believers. We cannot follow Jesus by ourselves. We need people around us. Jesus didn't create the church just as a fun idea. It is the center point of what he is doing. The church is his vehicle for bringing his kingdom here to earth. We need to be a part of that. I'm going to preach on that now. I got to stop. We talked about that. And if you missed it, you can go back and listen to it online because it's really good too. Last week we talked about communion and baptism. Why do we do those things? These two special ceremonies. We call them ordinances. These two special things that we do. Communion once a month. Baptism as people feel led to do that. And if you ever want to be baptized or want to know a little bit more about that, feel free. Talk to myself. Talk to any believer, really. Priesthood of all believers, right? If somebody's following Jesus, ask them, what is baptism? And if they don't know, talk to somebody else. Keep asking until you find someone that knows. Baptism is awesome. It's an amazing expression of Jesus' sacrifices. We are lowered into the grave with him in the water, and we are raised to new life as Jesus was raised to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. But today, we are going to ask a different question, another question. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? It feels kind of normal here, probably, right? But it's super weird. Because where else do you gather with a bunch of adults for some kind of holy karaoke experience? You don't. Outside of basically the national anthem at sporting events, where else in your life do you get together with people to sing? It doesn't happen. It's super weird. But we find it so normal and so comfortable. Why do we sing? And if we're going to explore that, we need to ask a bigger question that's kind of beyond that. Why do we worship at all? What is worship? And singing will be kind of a part of that because it's a piece. I'm giving you a clue already. It's a piece of how we express our worship. But if it's such an important piece, I guarantee Without fail, every single church that is gathered this morning is singing songs. It's a big part of what we do. Why do we do it? But what is worship? Why do we worship at all? Worship is simply giving God glory. It is reflecting God's glory back to Him. It is us acknowledging that God is worthy, that God is holy, that God is love, that God is the King and Lord and Creator and all that matters. And even as I say those things, I feel myself getting excited to express those things to God because He is worthy of our praise. It's the same as when we were talking about at the beginning. Why do we follow Jesus? Jesus is God. Why do we follow God? Because He's worthy. But in this, humans are not unique in expressing worship. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the earth. All of creation glorifies God in its majesty and power as it reflects the incredible being that spoke it all into existence. In Luke chapter 19, when Jesus is doing riding the donkey into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, we call that, the people are singing and praising and laying palm branches on the road and bringing Him honor and glory. And the Pharisees come up to Him and say, "You have to stop them. This is blasphemy. You have to stop them from doing this." And Jesus says to them, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." All of creation glorifies God. We, as created beings, glorify our Creator. And weirdly enough, whether we want to or not, just our very existence is a wonder, is a reflection of the power and majesty and intelligence of God, that He could create such an special system. That He could create us with so much detail, so powerful and profound. And it's amazing because the very breath that we draw is such an amazing orchestration of muscles and cells and all of these things. The very breath that people curse God with, to a certain extent, brings Him glory because they reflect who He is, whether they want to or not. All of creation glorifies God and in that way brings Him worship. The universe and everything in it reflects the power and wonder and majesty of God, the power and radiance of massive galaxies and planets and stars spinning at unbelievable speed into the vast distance of space, crashing together, creating new elements and matter itself. Stars exploding and spreading that matter across the universe. It is an incredible display. And all to the glory of our Creator God. Indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. And so do we. We are created to worship. We are created to bring God glory in our very being and existence. But in a way far more profound than anything else in all creation, we are made in God's image with the capacity for love and relationship, creativity and intelligence that we can engage with Him in a real, powerful, profound way. And so in that sense, we are unique in all creation. This capacity for relationship sets us apart. We stand alone in that. We can choose to submit to Him. All else in creation reflects God's glory. We alone, as far as we know, can choose to submit to God, can choose to consciously glorify Him, to speak these words and sing these songs of devotion, to place Him at the center of our lives as the object of worship. We are not just stimulus response going off of instinct. We can consciously choose how we go through our lives, and we can consciously choose to orient our lives around Him, that God is the center of our lives that way, as we were created to do. But we don't have to. We don't have to do that. Very obviously, we can worship something else. In fact, if we don't worship God, we will worship something else. Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about this, verse 20 to 25. For since the beginning of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. We are made to worship. It's what we were built to do. And we will worship something if it's not God. We'll worship ourselves. We'll worship power and fame, beauty and wealth. We'll worship security and control. We'll worship celebrity and leisure, or work, or entertainment, or nature. We'll carve idols out of trees and stones. We'll print idols as money. We'll carve them to look like animals and creatures out of our darkest imaginations, because we have to worship. We are driven to worship something, anything. If we don't focus our worship on the only thing that is worthy of it, we will find something else. Because we have to. It's what we were made to do. And we got so lost. We have sacrificed our own people, our own children, to these objects of worship that we carved with our own hands. We've killed and hurt and stolen and lied and cheated, all to appease idols of stone and wood and imagination. We are so desperate. But thanks be to our incredible God that He saved us from ourselves. From the very beginning, He has been trying to lead us back to the light, to a life of true and proper worship, a life centered on Him. And so He showed us how, because we didn't know. God called His chosen people, and He gave them His word, and He gave them a structure for worship so that they could express themselves to Him in a way that was meaningful, a way that showed them who He is, and who we are, the cost of sin, the cost of ignoring Him. He gave us tools and structures and form. He gave prophets to lead them. Worship has always been a centerpiece of God's people because it is so much what our lives are. In ancient times, they worshiped in very structured ways. They would build altars and monuments to remember the important things that God had done. And they would go to these places, these monuments, and remind themselves, tell the stories of what God had done. They listened to the reading of Scripture. They prayed together. They worshiped through sacrifice. They sang songs and hymns together. Is it any different today? The sacrifice is done. Jesus paid for our sin once and for all. We don't have that same practice anymore, but we remember it still through baptism and communion, as Pastor Dennis talked about last week. We still have these practices, these rituals that help us to remember what that sacrifice looked like, what the cost of our sin truly was. We gather, as we are right now, to hear the teaching and reading of the Word of God. We gather to pray together. We gather to worship through song. That hasn't changed. God's structure still stands in place. Why do we sing specifically? Worship encompasses all of these many things, but why do we sing? Because music is special. Music is different. In all of our experience as human beings, music is a unique place in who we are. It has a unique connection to who we are. It's one of the most powerful ways that we can impact one another. It's one of the most important ways we have to express deep emotions and ideas. And it's been a part of our experience as human beings for as far back as we can remember. Some of the earliest things that we dig up are musical instruments. People engage with music. And in a weird way, this is a bit of a tangent, but in a weird way, we might be the only beings in creation that experience music. Now you think immediately, wait a minute, angels sing, right? We sing songs about them singing even. But if you read carefully through Scripture, every instance where angels are communicating with people, it says they said, they were saying. It never once says that they sang. In the entirety of Scripture, people are the only things that sing. You think, wait a minute, no, shepherds, right? Angels came and they sang. We sing a song about this angel singing to the shepherds. Luke chapter, what is it? I got it right here. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying. Now, does this mean that angels or any other beings cannot sing or do not do music? No. They might, but as far as we know, as far as we have recorded, human beings are the only creatures that can sing, that have music as a part of who we are. And so perhaps music is indeed a very special part of what God created us to be. And perhaps it is more unique as a form of worship than we realize. Singing and music is deeply connected to who we are as people, as human beings. And when we gather for worship, we sing. Right at the beginning of the church, right at the beginning of God's people, over and over and over again, when they got together, the prophets and leaders talked about singing hymns together. They sang their worship to God. And in the church, that didn't change. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Ephesians chapter 5, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Singing allows us to express incredible truths and emotions to God. So many, the majority of the songs that we sing on Sunday mornings are based directly on Scripture, if not directly quoting Scripture. It's how we memorize God's Word, even if you don't know that's what's happening. Music has an incredibly powerful effect on our ability to remember. And so we put these truths of God in song so that we can remember what God has done, who He is, what He has created us to do and to be. Singing and music draws us together as people in a way that is wholly unique in our experience. Think of even in secular contexts, in concerts and things, the incredible experience of unity that we can have as people when we gather together for music. It's powerful. It's incredible. It gives us a common foundation to speak together of God's love and grace and mercy and wonder and forgiveness. It's an amazing tool and an incredibly powerful way that we can unite ourselves as the church, as the body of believers, as God's people before our Creator to tell Him how awesome He is. I was listening to a speaker once, a secular gentleman who was making fun of God, this incredibly insecure being that needs worship so badly. Why does he need all these people on Sunday mornings to get together to tell him how awesome he is? What an insecure, what a pathetic being. This person was misunderstanding entirely. God needs nothing from us. God didn't create us because he needs us. God created us out of an outpouring of his love that others, other beings would be able to. His love is so wonderful. His love is so incredible that he wanted to share it. And so our worship is not because God forces us to. Our worship is because we are created in his image, experiencing that love, and it is a natural outpouring back to him. We don't worship because God needs it. In ancient times with pagan gods, their gods did need it. In order to get their gods to do things, they had to sing hard enough or even hurt themselves enough and do these crazy things to try to get their gods to move and to act. Our God isn't that way. Our God needs nothing from us. He just wants to share his love with us and for us to experience the incredible life that he offers. And so we worship. We worship because it's natural. We worship not for an insecure being to feel better about himself, but because we need to share this love that he's given to us back to him and to one another. As we worship together, as we sing these songs together, as you listen to the other voices on a Sunday morning singing these songs together, it is a powerful experience to hear other people expressing love for God. Is an incredible encouragement to me. When I listen on Sunday mornings and I hear that happen, it is overwhelming. Why do we worship? Because God is worthy. Because he is love. Because it puts us in our right place before him. Because it's all about him. And why do we sing? Because music is one of the most powerful expressions of love and worship that we have. And it draws us together in a way that almost nothing else can. King David expressed this thousands of years ago, and it holds just as true today. In Psalm 100, he wrote this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord in gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Worship is what we were made to do, and we feel whole nowhere more than we were standing in God's presence worshiping him. And singing and music is just a part of who we are. It's a piece of our worship. Every moment of our lives, every breath, every action can be worship. Play can be worship. Relationship can be worship. Eating together can be worship. It can all be worship if God is the focus and attention of what we are doing as we just live. But music is an incredibly powerful tool that draws us together, that allows us to be on the same page, expressing the same thing at the same time, drawn together in unity by His Spirit and by music. So don't rob us of your voice. Don't rob us of your worship. Not everybody feels comfortable in a group setting, but believe me, nobody's listening that close to you specifically. And if you think you don't sing very well, the Bible talks a lot more often about making a joyful noise than about singing well. We need to hear your voice specifically. Sometimes I will stand in silence and just enjoy and listen to what God's people are singing, to the worship from the band. That's allowed. But engage, sing, let your voice be heard, that our chorus together can be a beautiful offering to God. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Together, we make something incredible. And as we do that, drawn together by His Spirit, we will create something beautiful to present to our incredible Creator. Amen? Let's pray together. And then we'll sing, because that's what we do. Father God, we thank You for music. And God, I don't know if it is entirely unique to us, God, but it is certainly a unique experience that we have when we experience worship, when we express ourselves through music. I thank You for the incredible gift, for the powerful effect it has on us, its ability to draw us to a place that is transcendent, a place that is somehow different than our normal lives. When we hear certain songs, when we sing certain words, God, it can draw us to an incredible place of being in Your presence that we don't normally experience, and I thank You for that incredible gift. Father, as we are gathered as Your people, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that draws us together in unity. And as we seek to bring You glory, as we seek to honor You, as we seek to express these incredible truths of who You are, I pray that You would be honored and glorified, God. That as we sing together, that You would be the focus and attention of everything we do, and that You would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.